You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 14th of January 2025. The Australian share market had a good day today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.5%. Julia Lee from FTSE Russell will have the details in a few moments, including her opportunities for investors right now. But first, to our extended interview with Westpac Chief Economist Lucy Ellis and her outlook for the economy and direction for interest rates. It comes as the Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index fell again in January. And while it's still in negative territory, consumers are less pessimistic than they were a year ago. For more, Raina Bosch spoke with Lucy Ellis, Westpac's Chief Economist.
The consumer is still struggling with cost of living pressures. The pickup in retail sales late last year is really people leaning into the sales. When things are discounted, they will purchase, but what they're finding is they don't want to pay full price. And we see that in our own card spending data, that things fall off when things aren't on sale. We have had a bit of a boost with tax cuts, but it's not had as much of an effect as people expected. The consumer is slowly getting better. Our own Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index did suggest that people are a bit more optimistic about the future than they're feeling about the current point. But it's still a bit of a struggle for many people out there.
Just recently, we saw ANZ bring forward its rate cut call. Are you looking to do the same?
We've long said that a rate cut in February is a possibility, but it's just not the most likely outcome. The labour market is very tight and it remained tight over the second half of last year. There wasn't that further easing that the Reserve Bank was looking for. And I think they'll be quite cautious about cutting rates while they still see signs that the economy is tight, that the labour market is, if anything, putting on more jobs. They're aware that some of this could unwind, but I think they're just going to be a bit cautious. We are getting closer to the date that rates fall. I think the main thing to focus on is rates will start falling in the first half of this year. And whether it's February, as some of our colleagues think, or May, as we think, is the most likely start date. The important point is rates are going to come down at least a bit in the first half of this year.
I want to turn our attention now to the Australian dollar, which has obviously been under immense pressure recently. What are the economic implications of this, and are you concerned?
It's unfortunate that a lot of people see the exchange rate as a kind of vote of confidence in an economy. What's happening at the moment is actually really about the US dollar rather than about the Australian dollar. If you look at the Australian dollar against all of our trading partners and not just the US, you'll see that the decline has been a lot smaller. And at least some of that is a response to people being concerned about the growth prospects in China. And of course, if growth is indeed going to be weaker than people originally thought in China, then a lower exchange rate in Australia is a really good way to absorb that shock. The exchange rate moves in order to absorb the shocks that the rest of the world pushes our way. It does mean that overseas holidays are more expensive, but it also means that Australian production becomes more competitive, and that's part of the way that the economy responds to these overseas shocks.
Now, the new RBA board will be meeting after the next RBA meeting. What impact, if any, do you expect that to have on the decision-making process?
Well, the changes to the Reserve Bank board came out of a review panel that reported last year. And a lot of the recommendations that were made in that review panel report have already been put through. They've moved to longer meetings, less frequent meetings. They're trying to do things in a different way. They've instituted quite quickly a number of models and ways of thinking about the economy that review panel suggested. Now, of course, one of the main thing that changes with the new board is that two of the members are new, and one of those new members is in fact someone who was on that review panel. And so she will have some very particular views about how things should be run. But of course, these things all need to work out in the practicality. The plan is also that the board will start at some point publishing anonymized votes, so you'll know if that there was a dissent, even if you don't know who that was. And this is all about creating an environment where the board can be seen to challenge the staff rather than merely actually challenging them. So I think it's probably more at the margin. The RBA has a lot of people with a lot of expertise and, deep experience in monetary policy and looking at the Australian economy. And together with the reconstituted board, I think they will continue to make decisions more or less as they have been over the past year.
Finally, Lucy, how optimistic are you about the state of the economy looking further ahead into 2025? And what do you see as the biggest threats?
There are always things that could send things off track. There are always shocks that Australia has to navigate, and Australia particularly has to pivot after going through this period of very high inflation, cost of living pressures. The tax cuts last year didn't have as big an impact on consumer spending as most people had assumed. We could be in for a period of slow growth. We are likely to be in for a period of a weaker labour market. But, in the end, we'll still have, unemployment in the fours, we hope, which is much lower than almost all of the previous 40 or 50 years. We'll still have a lot of really strong industries. And so that's a really good base on which to, navigate whatever the geopolitics of the world should throw at us.
How about China's economy? Are you worried at all?
Well, I think, China is Australia's biggest trading partner. They are navigating quite a number of headwinds. Their population's shrinking and aging very quickly. They are trying to, boost their output, but they're not really boosting consumer demand over there. And so you're seeing this, continual overexpansion of supply in global manufacturing. China, the US, and Germany are all trying to, ensure that they maintain or increase their share of global manufacturing, and that can't be true for all of them. And I think that, we're going to see, a continual pressure on China's manufacturing industry. We'll probably see ongoing deflation. That means cheaper goods, in other countries, including Australia. So while it is a really important thing for Australia to navigate, the Chinese authorities will also respond and continue with stimulus packages. So I think there's a clear balance there.
That is Lucy Ellis there, the chief economist at Westpac, speaking with Raina Bosch.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On the Money podcast.
Good day for the Australian share market. The S&P ASX 200 up about 0.5% to 8,231. For more, Raina Sarampayat spoke with Julia Lee from FTSE Russell.
It's really lovely to see the Australian share market breaking that three-day losing streak with a rise. And it's really about the miners today. On one hand, we've seen iron ore prices hitting a two-week high. And on the other, we've seen the energy sector also gaining. And there is some speculation that if we do see extra US sanctions on Russian oils, that we could see China as well as Indian buyers having to find alternative suppliers. So that's helped oil prices. On the flip side, though, we have seen gold prices coming under pressure overnight. So gold miners losing a bit of ground today. But altogether, if we have a look at some of the big moves on the market, we've seen Star Entertainment up by 10% on the back of a shareholder reaching substantial shareholder status, and Premier Investments down by 3% as brokers are concerned about some costs on because of the lower Aussie dollar there.
Regarding Star, this businessman from Macau who's stepped in, what do we know about this gentleman?
I think first of all, the concerns around Star is that it is in a very difficult situation, and it's probably not going to be able to trade itself out of the situation that it's in. So shareholders will be hoping for a capital injection or for someone or a company to come over and help it out. The fact that we have seen a substantial shareholder notice for this Macau businessman at 6% means there's a little bit more hope, which has entered into the stock. Of course, that gain of 10% coming off a very low base. So just watching to see whether we do see any extra capital coming through, because that's really what Star needs at this point.
So for the rest of the week, what should investors be watching out for?
I think one of the key things for investors this year will be earnings. We have a look at what's forecast for the Australian share market. We're expecting to see that Australian earnings will go backwards by around about 2%. And of course, in a couple of weeks, we'll get the earnings scorecard from ASX listed company with the half year reporting season. Ahead of that February half year reporting season, of course, is confession season. And this is where companies that expect to deviate more than 5% from forecasts or market expectations need to come out and confess to the market. So just keeping a close eye to see whether we see some positive or negative confessions in the lead up to that half year reporting season. Of course, if we have a look at what else is on the cards, one of the things that investors will be watching this week will be the December jobs numbers, which are out on Thursday. The reason why this is so important is because the jobs market in Australia has been on fire. We have a look at from July last year up to November, we saw more than 200,000 jobs having been added. So really, it wouldn't be surprised if we saw a bit of a pullback in these December numbers. But what market watchers are really looking for is to see whether there's any signs of a turning point in what's been a pretty hot jobs market here in Australia. And that, of course, feeds into interest rate expectations as well. But talking about interest rate expectations, a lot of that stems from US interest rate expectations. And this week, we will get an inflation print out of the US. This will be especially important because we saw a very hot jobs numbers for December out of the US, which saw 10-year Treasury yields rising once again. And of course, the strength of the US dollar very much on the back of that strong jobs report as well.
And then what about our dollar, obviously under a lot of pressure in recent times? It's been up today, the market following suit. What should investors have in mind there?
Yeah, we've seen the Aussie dollar really plummeting over the last 6 months, and it has a big impact on investors. First of all, if we have a look at companies that are impacted, those Australian listed companies which are making revenue offshore are usually positively impacted by that falling Aussie currency. In fact, a number of Australian companies listed here on the ASX report their earnings in US dollars, US dollar terms, because they make so much money offshore. This includes companies like Amcor, Brambles, CSL, James Hardie, as well as ResMed. So all of those companies positively impacted by that falling Aussie dollar. But on the flip side, it's a negative for importers because that weaker Aussie dollar means that they can't buy as much. So companies like JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman, as well as Wesfarmers is usually negatively impacted. I know a lot of people are probably on holidays at the moment. And of course, Australians traveling overseas, they're hurt very much by that weaker Australian currency. But for inbound travelers into Australia, it's a huge positive. So watching those inbound tourism companies like Qantas, Webjet, as well as Flight Centre as a positive benefit. And of course, for investors, if we're invested overseas, we want to see the currency that we're invested in rising. So if we're invested in the US market, the US dollar has been rising. So just watching those overseas investments and the extra boost that they're getting from that weaker US cur weaker Australian currency and stronger US currency.
Oh, many winners, many losers. Just how many times has the Australian dollar been this low in the low 60s?
You know, I do want to highlight that it is quite unusual to see the Aussie dollar around these very low levels outside of a crisis. And if we have a look at the last 40 years, the number of times that we've seen the Australian currency around these levels is really just a handful. The last time, of course, was 2020 during the COVID crisis. But before then, it was really the global financial crisis in 2008 and the Lehman Brothers disaster. But of course, previous to that, 1998 coming out of the Asian currency crisis, and 1987 after the stock market crash that we saw in 1987. So really quite an unusual event, especially outside of a crisis. And of course, that weaker Aussie currency really fueled by that very strong US currency that we are seeing on the back of those stronger economic numbers coming out of the US and some expectations that perhaps we could see a Trump presidency seeing more inflationary conditions.
And we'll be watching that very closely. Finally, Julia, what opportunities do you see for investors right now?
I think the currency will be a big one. It's very unusual for the Aussie currency to stay at these very low levels. So over the next few years, if we do see a rebound in the Aussie currency, hopefully that's good news for the share market, attracting foreign investors to our market. Because of course, foreign investors, they want to see the Aussie dollar rising while they're invested over here. So I think when you're looking at the outlook for 2025, there's a lot of unusual things going on. The 10-year treasury yields globally rising. We're seeing, the Aussie dollar at crisis level lows, but it really depends on time frames. So if you're looking at that longer time frame, perhaps that weaker Aussie dollar might actually end up being a positive. But outside of that, that half year earnings season in February is going to be a key for investors.
That is Raina Sarimpait speaking with Julia Lee from FTSE Russell. Don't forget, if you enjoy this podcast, to click subscribe wherever you stream this podcast from and to give it a rating.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.